Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today we're going to speak with a spunky young woman who, at nearly 70 years old, has been RVing for 18 years. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For a monthly subscription fee, people can participate in two online webinars every week to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, where to call home, and how to find a job or start a mobile business. All online events will be recorded for watching anytime. Subscribers can also join an open question and answer session once each month. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. I interviewed Marsha Mercer at the 2019 Work Camper Rendezvous, where she provided a quick assessment of her involvement in that annual event. She holds the distinction of having attended every rendezvous since its inception. I asked Marsha to come back on the show to elaborate on her personal experience as a solo full-time RVer and about the types of jobs she has performed during the 7 years she's been work camping. She describes how she discovered the world of work camping while visiting a campground in Michigan with her husband many years ago. The owners gave her an old copy of Work Camper News, which she stuck in a file. After she was divorced, Marsha came across that old issue and it sparked her imagination. So she joined Work Camper News and quickly upgraded to a lifetime member. Then she attended the inaugural rendezvous event by towing her 19-foot camper from Michigan to Arkansas and back. By the time she returned, Marsha was convinced she wanted to jump into the lifestyle full-time. She has worked a number of jobs across the country and describes some of the tasks she performed and people she has met. In fact, she developed a friendship with another solo RVer about her age, and the two ladies are planning a months-long trip through the western United States. What Marsha really likes about work camping is the ability to move around the nation to visit all kinds of places. What she really likes about work camping is the ability to move around the nation to visit all kinds of places, enjoy a variety of experiences without costing her a lot of money. Marsha also talks about some of the challenges she has faced as an RVer and work camper and how she overcame those problems. It's through those challenges that she learned to develop a list of questions to ask potential employers to prevent any misunderstandings and to better evaluate whether a job or company would be a good fit for her. To tell us more about her experiences and the things she learned over the past 7 years, please welcome Marsha Mercer back to the show.
Thanks for joining us today, Marsha. I really appreciate it. So how long have you been RVing?
Well, camping started with a tent and went to a pop-up, then back to a tent, back to a pop-up, to a 24-foot trailer, a divorce, a 19-foot trailer, a 33-foot fifth wheel, another 33-foot fifth wheel, and a currently have that last fifth wheel and a 19-foot trailer again in anticipation of taking a big long trip out west.
My goodness.
It got delayed because of the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you have plenty of experience in camping and RVing spread out over many years. I think people would find it fascinating to know how old you really are. Would you mind telling everyone?
I will. This is 2020, mm-hmm. and I will be 70 just after Christmas.
Oh, my goodness. 70 years old, and you're RVing by yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. And how long?
I have been for 17, 18 years.
18 years as a solo RVer. That's neat. I bet you've had some incredible experiences along the way.
Well, part of that time I was still working. I've actually been full-time solo work camper RVer since April of 2013. And that's been a travel from the west of the Mississippi. I've worked in Missouri to I-75 on the east side, running down that corridor between those, and spending my winters in Florida each year, and to be there with my elderly parents, who my dad just turned 92 in July, and my mother will turn 89 in about a week and a half. And so I go down every winter and spend as much time. The first two winters I was down there was working in Clearwater, and they're in Zephyr Hills. So I would work in Clearwater, then come over. But then the last 5 years, I've spent the whole winter with them in their park and working somewhere in that area.
How long have you been work camping?
Work camping since April of 2013.
Okay, since April of 2013, and constantly work camping. You've always had a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
What attracted you to the work camping lifestyle?
Well, when I was still married, we were at a campground up in West Branch, Michigan, a little county park, and we got to talk with a couple that was managing the small park. I don't know if they had like 50 or 60 sites. It was very small. And we would go up and spend a week or two, you know, of our vacation up there, and talked with them and discussed, you know, that we would like to RV around the country, see some of the sites like everybody, most people want to. And they at some point had given me a work camper news, an older one that they weren't using anymore, a few months old, maybe a year or more. And I kind of filed it away. Well, then after the divorce, sometime along the end of 2010, I came across it in my files, and the two of my boys had kind of cobbled a desktop computer for me. So I got on there and checked it out and joined as a dreamer, and then upgraded to a lifetime member. And that was the spring that they had the first work camper rendezvous. And I figured, okay, I want to go see the country. This is one way to do it. I wanted to find out everything I could so I wouldn't fall on my face. And went to that first one, drove from Michigan to Heber Springs, Arkansas, and back, and my little 19-foot travel trailer all by myself.
Wow. And if your dad is in his 90s, a lifetime membership with Work Camper News is going to pay off well for you.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very good. What do you like most about the experience?
Well, I think in addition to seeing and being able to be in a spot for a while so that you can experience the whole area, the best thing that's happened are some of the friendships I've made.
Mm-hmm.
Through either where I've work camped or from people I've met at rendezvous.
What are some of the fun or the best places that you've visited or had the opportunity to have a job at?
Well, the first two summers were at Adventureland, just outside Des Moines, Iowa. And the very first person I met and got to know there was my friend Maggie Karam. And she's the one that we're going to be traveling on this trip out west. So we've kept in touch, even though it might be a couple of years in between when we actually see each other. It's, you know, like no time has gone by. I met up with a couple last January at the Tampa RV show, and I had not seen them for a while, but they were someone, the couple that I met the very first rendezvous I went to, and we're friends on Facebook, so I keep up with them. And it's just been It expands your horizons, your experiences. You know, every once in a while you find a bad acorn in the bundle, but, you know, for the most part, it's been so worthwhile.
Okay.
And it just is.
And are there favorite parts of the country that you love to visit that maybe you discovered that you didn't think you'd like, but you wound up really falling in love with it?
I don't think there's one place that I haven't enjoyed. I was in Wisconsin Dells in 2018 in the summer, met up with Maggie. She came over and spent a few days with me, and we took the duck tour in the lower Dells, the boat trip on the upper Dells, went to a water show, and I can't remember the guy's name. It's
Tommy
like
Bartlett.
Done on skis. That one, yes, mm-hmm. Tommy Bartlett. The House on the Rock, some caverns we went to, just thoroughly enjoyed that. So many places are like other places, and yet they have their own distinct differences that you can enjoy all of it.
Okay, fair enough. Are there still places on your bucket list that you would like to get to?
Oh, absolutely. You know, of course, the trip out west is the way we're kind of loose on it, but, you know, it's going to be as many of the national parks and national whatevers that we can get to. And, you know, whatever other things there are to see in the area, but that's going to be one of the things. And I'm almost tempted, if the timing is right, to go directly from that trip out west to the East Coast.
Well, that's cross country and back. That's pretty adventurous.
Yeah.
When you talk about going to the West, are you talking about the Southwest or the Northwest?
The whole kit and caboodle.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Anything from the east side of the Rockies, north, south, and to the west as far as I can go.
You'll have plenty to see, that's for sure.
Yep.
So,
because I don't know that I'll ever have the chance to go again, so I want to do it all.
Okay. And are you going to be work camping during that time, or are you just traveling for fun?
That will be a travel for fun.
Okay.
I've been work camping and, you know, tucking away, and so that I don't have to stop and work camp, that we can just keep going on to the
next fun, amazing site.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What kind of jobs have you done as a work camper?
Most of my jobs have been in the office/store, mostly doing reservations. That's my niche. I want to make the guests that come into the campground, wherever I'm at, have the best experience they can have. You know, so if someone calls in and they've got a tent or a pop-up, I want to get them as close as I can to the restrooms,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're not self-contained, so they don't have those facilities with them. So I want to make it easy for them, you know, or whatever works for them, you know. I want to make sure that they have a good time. And last summer in 2019, I worked in Illinois back at a place that I had worked in 2016 doing reservations in store at that time. But last summer, I did what they call maintenance, which was the checkout portion of, you know, as the guests were leaving, making sure the electrical was in the proper position and the cap was on the sewer and the water was not dripping and the fire ring was cleaned out, that sort of thing. And then after everybody was out and we started getting the guests arriving until the end of my shift in mid-afternoon, I would escort.
Okay.
And get them set up and, you know, help them where the utilities are and make sure everything's all good for them.
That's a very important position, because it really does get people started off on the right foot with their vacation or their trip.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And making sure that they're on the right site and they get in and out easily. And yeah, it is very definitely.
Now you're working at Indiana Dunes State Park, I believe.
It's not Indiana Dunes. It's Silver Lake. It's Silver Lake State Park, and it's Silver Lake Sand Dunes.
Oh,
right
Silver
across
Lake. Okay.
To the west, Silver Lake.
Okay.
And then there's another national. It's not a national park. It's a national something or other, seashore or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be Sleeping Bear Sand Dunes, which is just north of here, an hour or so. But okay. They're both right along Lake Michigan.
Okay. And are you doing the same jobs or the type of jobs at your current position?
It's reservations.
Okay. Super. Do you own an ATV so you go out on the dunes?
No, but here they have a company that was started 90 years ago, Mack Woods Dune Rides. They have these big, they probably hold, well, at least a dozen people on these open dune buggies.
Okay.
And they lease a portion of the dunes from the state, and then they have a route that they take you around and they educate you. They'll stop every so often and educate you about the dunes. And so at one point you get to see Silver Lake and Lake Michigan at the same time with
okay.
the dunes in between.
As a work camper, what kind of perks do you normally enjoy?
Well, since camping is compared to a motel is a little cheaper usually, but most of my jobs have included at least a free full hookup site included with an hourly wage, or it was just the site. One place that I worked, I only got the site, they did not pay hourly. And another place I worked a few hours a week toward the cost of the site.
Okay.
Plus an hourly. So it's been a really good proposition, you know, for being able to move around and see places and not have it cost an arm and a leg.
Some new people might wonder if they can afford to full-time RV just by work camping. Is it possible to do that if you get the right job and you get your site paid and you've got an hourly wage as well?
It would depend on what your other expenses are. You know, I don't really know. I've not budgeted it out. I know it works for me, but then at my age, I'm getting Social Security and I'm drawing on my ex-husband's because he has passed away and I qualified. So I have a good base, which covers most everything,
mm-hmm.
but not everything. So I've got that hourly to supplemental, and that's kind of this summer and prior summers, it's gone into a savings account in anticipation of that trip.
Oh, so you've been planning for this for quite a while. So we hope it happens mm-hmm. here soon. That would be nice.
Absolutely.
Have you faced any challenges as an either work camper or an RVer?
Well, other than the maintenance issues with an RV, you know, I've had tires blow on the way up to Michigan from Florida last spring. I had a belt break on one of my truck tires, and I was in Kentucky, and I think it delayed me 4, maybe 5 hours, somewhere between there. You know, but that's a maintenance issue. I was planning on replacing the tires when I got up here anyway, so it wasn't a big deal. I've had a leak, you know, in the roof. Took care of that. Minor, you know, appliance issues that were easily taken care of because I have taken the week-long RV maintenance tech course. Now that's being given at the Big Red Schoolhouse in Athens, Texas, through an RBTA, but I had taken it prior. I did that in 2014.
Okay.
Back down when in Florida.
They were the Mobile RV Academy.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At that time it was mobile and they were doing them all over the country. Now they have a permanent facility and it, from what I've seen pictures of, it is great. I'm hoping to be able to stop there on our way west.
They have a campground so they can host you for a night or two. Yes. It's a beautiful facility. But as a single woman, it doesn't sound like you've faced any really pressing challenges that you haven't been able to adapt to.
I haven't really. My 9-to-5 job before I retired was with a bank. So three or four times a year, they would do security training. So that's always kind of in the back of my mind when I'm traveling by myself. I have contacts, like, you know, I'll be letting somebody in the family know, okay, I'm stopping for the night. I'm here. You know, as soon as I get inside the rig and all locked up for the night, you know, then I'll call somebody and say, this is where I'm at. You know, walk in with my phone in my hand to make sure that, you know, I'm inside okay. And when I start out in the morning, then I give them a call and say, okay, I'm hitting the road. I plan on going in this direction on these roads. And, you know, when I stop, then I'll contact somebody again. So there's always somebody that knows where I am at any particular time and where I'm headed for. I'm always aware of what's going on around me, too. So it's that training that's coming into effect. So I don't feel odd or, and if I do get a feeling like that, I just keep going.
Okay. Right. And that's what you should do. So if you like pull into a rest area and there's, I don't think I need to be here. You just keep on going.
that happened with a campground in, lower Illinois.
Okay.
And I got there, I paid cash fortunately, and, I just didn't feel comfortable. I was the only one in there. There was nobody else around except for this guy that was in the office. And, I called my mom and told her about it. And I said, I don't feel right. I said, I'm going to hook back up and, you know, unhook the utilities and take off. And I stopped the office and said, well, I miscalculated something. I've got an appointment I've got to get to. I don't, you know, this is not going to work for me. And he did give me my money back with no questions. And I just hit the road, and a few miles up the road, I found a really nice campground.
Okay.
So it worked.
Very good. Very good. I know there are a lot of single women who would be interested in RVing, but they don't think they have the skill or the ability to do that. What would you tell them?
Do your education, do your due diligence. There are companies that will teach you how to drive your RV. There are places, and Terry Cooper is one, does a class on, you know, what RV may work best for you. It's, my thing would be, if you haven't camped, to rent a couple different types of RVs with different floor plans to figure out what might work best for you and try it that way before you do make the big investment on an RV. Have it, if it's used, even if it's new, have it inspected, and take that maintenance class, or at least get the mini version, you know, the little thumb drive or whatever it is that they have on, you know, that RV tech in a box.
Yes.
Because that's your support.
Mm-hmm.
That will give you the, you know, your basic information that you need for maintenance, you know, if something goes wrong, but it's your backup.
Okay.
And that was one of the best things I ever did. The absolute best thing I ever did was went to the First Rendezvous, and then I've gone every year since.
You have?
Because I have. So this in October would have been number 10, but they've had to cancel that because of COVID. But people say, well, you're already doing it. You're living the lifestyle. Why do you go? I said, because I learned something every time I go.
Yep.
Or something will be said. Oh, yeah. Now, I remember I heard that before, but I'd kind of forgotten it. I meet up with old friends. I make new friends. And because someone gave me that work camper news all those years ago, this is my way to pay it forward to those that are dreaming and come to Rendezvous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to give them the support that I got when I started.
And you also get to meet people who have done fun things, had interesting
yeah.
jobs, and been in interesting places,
yeah.
and you put it on your bucket list.
That's absolutely right.
Have you had any challenges as a work camper?
I had done an interview with a couple, and when it came right down to, we did a phone interview, and everything was going well. I got the paperwork. I went over it, and there were some things at the time that were should have red flagged me. I put them aside, you know. I just said, okay, well, you know, that's all right. And I really should have listened to my gut, because I did do the job. I took the job. I made it through the season, but it didn't go as well as I would have liked.
Okay. Okay, that's
but
fair.
I was responsible. I stuck it out.
But you, what you're saying is that, you know, there was some feeling you had that I don't really know. It's just something gnawing at the back of your mind
mm-hmm.
when considering this. And you
and
said you dismissed it and you should have listened to your gut.
Absolutely.
Okay. And listen carefully when you talk to prospective employers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I saw something on Facebook just yesterday that somebody was saying, well, you got a laundry allowance. Well, what you got was a roll of quarters each week,
mm-hmm.
which you did a couple loads of laundry and that was it. You know, if you had more than that, you're paying out of pocket. And there was like three or four things that were put in the ad that weren't what you would assume that they were going to be.
Okay.
You had their interpretation. Oh, and what your interpretation mm-hmm. was not the same thing as to what those things meant.
Okay.
So, sometimes it's good to get them right down to brass tacks.
So when you have questions like that, that's what that communication is about. And you really need to dive deep and not be afraid to ask the silly questions. What do you mean by a
right.
laundry allowance?
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
That type of
yeah.
thing. Okay.
And so, I have asked my fifth wheel is built on a drop frame from the wheels to the front. That part of the frame is lower than from the wheels to the back end. And my outlets for my gray and black tanks are in that low area. So I've asked for me, are there going to be any grades or quick change that's going to affect that? I don't want to catch it on something, you know, or do you have speed bumps? You know, that kind of thing, because it could cause me a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, you have to think about those things and how, like, if you have to go get your meds, your prescriptions every month, you have to go to a pharmacy. You want to know how far those pharmacies are away. You know, the closest stores, the medical, you know, like emergency rooms and stuff. Things might be important and would not be in the job description.
Do you maintain
a
list?
You have to think about all those things.
Yeah. Do you maintain a list of questions that you ask the employers?
I should have them written down. I've got, it's a mental list.
Okay.
But yes, I should have it written down. And I've heard that from other people that they have them written down and they ask when mm-hmm. they you know, I mean, sometimes like you said, with an interpretation of laundry allowance, sometimes what is important to you is not thought of by that employer that's placing that ad, that job ad. So you have to make sure that what's important to you gets a good answer, you know, that's going to work for you.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent advice as well. So after this position ends in Indiana, hopefully you and your friend are going to hit the West Coast and go all the way from Washington to Arizona and up and down Nevada and Utah and see everything you can. And then you're planning on going back to the West Coast. Do you have another job set up already?
Well, actually, from Michigan, I'm headed to Florida in next month for the winter. And then hopefully the job or the bucket list trip will start next spring.
Okay.
Because no way am I going to want to be in the Rocky Mountains in the wintertime.
I suppose that's a very good point. Yes, absolutely. Okay. So you're heading down to Florida
hopefully we'll
next.
Start in spring.
You're heading to Florida.
Heading down to Florida. Mm-hmm.
And you have a job already there?
Yeah. The park where my parents are now, permanently, they're not traveling anymore. I've worked in the office there for 2.5 seasons.
Okay.
So I'll be going back there to work for this coming winter and tuck a little more money away for that trip.
Well, that'll be nice, because if you've been there for 2.5 seasons already, then you already know a lot of folks and it'll be like going home.
Oh, it is. It is. For the last few years that I was working, I had driven my parents down and back and then flew the other way for several years before I retired. And then when I retired, that was a little bit of a logistic problem because I couldn't really drive them back up to Michigan for the summer. And my sister and brother-in-law took care of driving their car and my folks up. And then my parents actually sold out in Michigan and moved to Florida permanently. And that was 7 years ago. And so they're down there all the time. And I had spent enough time when I had driven them back and forth that I knew a lot of people in the park. And so it's like going home,
mm-hmm.
you know, down there. And I'm sure that eventually I'm going to end up buying a park model there and spending,
okay,
you know, 5 to 7 months down there a year.
But you'll never give up RVing?
Not until I absolutely have.
Is there any advice that you would give to people who are considering becoming a work camper?
Yes. Do your homework. Especially if it's a couple. Well, even as a solo. Make sure that the RV that you have fits you. You can stand that small space. And if you're a couple, you can stand being together for long periods of time. But that you have your own corner you can go to if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple here working this summer. It's their first summer work camping. And I know that they had done a couple years of research. And they found out very quickly that it wasn't for them.
The position or work camping?
I think just work camping in general. Okay. It may be that, you know, they're in a 33-foot motorhome, I think. So maybe it's just not enough room. I don't know, but they're ready to go back to sticks and bricks.
Okay.
Of some sort.
Okay.
So it's not for everybody, but
that's why I like your.
If you're a camper and you do your research, you spend some time, maybe some shorter trips, a month, 2 months before you actually, you know, jump in full bore. Mm-hmm. That's the best advice I could give somebody, I guess, that, you know, try it in small doses before you give up everything. And you don't have to give up everything. You can still keep that sticks and bricks and just use one, you know, one season or the other as your work camping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever works for you. It doesn't have to be a full-time 24-hour thing, but you still have to be able, for those months that you're doing it, or whatever time you are doing that, you've got to know that it's going to work for you, that you're going to be able to stand to be in a small space for long periods of time, either by yourself or together.
I really like your advice that you had mentioned a little while ago about renting an RV first. And that would be a great, great opportunity to check and see if you'd really not only like that type of RV, but whether you would be able to handle the lifestyle. If that would work for you. Mm-hmm. Right.
And handle the RV, you know, the backing, the maintenance, the setup, tear down, you know, all of that that's part of the lifestyle. But with, as a work camper, you're usually somewhere for several months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're moving that RV every few days or every week or 2 weeks, whatever, you know, if you're traveling, you know, that's what you're doing.
Right.
But when you're work camping, you're settled for quite a while, usually.
Mm-hmm. And you can always find a job generally in your local area where you can work a season or half a season and see if this is really something that you would like to do.
Right. That is a great idea also, Greg.
Very good. Well, Marcia, you are a wealth of information, and I really appreciate you taking time to share your story with us today.
No problem. The one other thing I would tell somebody is if you can, go to the work camper rendezvous. It's a wealth of information. They are different every year, although some of the seminars they do repeat because they're worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're always pulling new people in as presenters, and you find out as much sitting around with other people there as you do from the seminars.
That's a good idea. Well, thank you again for the time. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Greg. Have a great day.
I admire people like Marcia Mercer who have decided they won't let age or the fact they are single prevent them from enjoying the life they've always imagined. I know a lot of people who reach a certain stage in life feel compelled to just slow down, stop working, stop dreaming, and opt for a daily routine. Marcia's life is much richer because she keeps her dreams alive. Finding part-time jobs helping people and businesses ensures she has a steady flow of income to offset her travel expenses. She also learned how to fix her own RV without relying upon a service center to complete many of the repairs. That saves her even more money and ensures that her schedule isn't dependent upon whether she can get a service appointment at an RV dealership. Marcia provided some valuable security advice for men and women who are traveling as solo RVers. I really liked how she established a routine to check in with someone each morning and each evening when she's traveling. That way, if she does have a problem and doesn't check in or can't be reached, someone will know where she is in order to send help. She's also learned to trust her instincts, so if a situation doesn't feel right, she leaves immediately. Even though she has nearly 2 decades of RVing experience and 7 years of work camping experience, Marcia still seeks out opportunities to learn more about the lifestyle. She's regularly adding new places to her dream list of things she'd like to experience. Considering her parents are in their 90s themselves, Marcia can likely look forward to many more years of adventure before she needs to contemplate slowing down. Work Camper News is a magazine and online publication that connects RVers to full and part-time jobs around the country. Whether it is running a business from your RV or working short-term jobs for a variety of employers, Work Camper News can give you information to help plan a course to live your own dream and get you on the road faster than you thought possible. For more information about opportunities to live, work, and play in your RV, visit www.workcampernews.com. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all we have for this week's show. Next time, I'll speak with a couple from Arizona who's been on the road for almost 2 years. They'll describe their experiences and share some lessons they've learned along the way. Thanks for listening to today's episode of The Work Camper Show.